The sermon today is on generosity. And we want to talk about four spiritual truths on generosity. And let me read a scripture for you. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and your love for us, see that you abound in this grace. That is giving. Also, that you excel in giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. I'm going to preach from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 today. So, the introduction for us today is that generosity flows from the heart of God. Generosity flows from the heart that is shaped by God. The second one is, generosity opens the door of blessing. When you are generous, it is not to God's benefit, but to your own benefit. Generosity is not for self-gratification, but for the edification of the body of Christ. So let's look at four spiritual truths here today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 2, it reads, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." See, when Paul wanted to go to Asia, there was a man that came to in his vision, and he asked him to come to Macedonia. That's the Macedonian call that we sing in a hymn. Have you heard the Macedonian call? Now this church, the Macedonian church, is afflicted, is lacerated by the Roman Empire, in deep poverty and affliction. But he is writing to the church in Corinth, which is rich, luxurious, and he is going to teach on generosity. That's the setup here today. You think of Corinth, very rich church, gifted church, that pride itself in spiritual gifts. That the whole church knows in that area that Corinth church is full of gifted people. That the power of the Holy Spirit is moving in that church. And Paul wrote a letter to the church in Corinth and point them to the church in Macedonia and say, how about learning generosity from this poor church? The poor and middle class in America give more than the rich. According to Paul Beef, a social psychologist at the University of California, Berkeley, he says that that's consistent with what he's found in years of research in income and giving. I was interested why the poor and the middle class America give more than the rich. Even the IRS reported that the poor give more than the rich in terms of their giving ratio. It was surprising for me. And so Paul said, he wrote, the more wealth you have, the more focus on your own self and your own needs you become. And the less attuned to the needs of other people you also become. I say, wow, that is very interesting. And there is some more, there's another piece that he wrote that I was interested. Piff said, it is not that rich people aren't generous. They are often just isolated. They don't see a lot of poor people in their daily lives. See, generosity is not dependent on circumstances. Generosity is not dependent on circumstances. See, generosity is a matter of heart. It's not a matter of possession. Deep poverty does not limit people to be generous. We can see that from Macedonia. The people, the church that has been persecuted by the Romans, that has been lacerated by the Romans, they are physically, emotionally, economically afflicted. Deep, deep, very deep poverty. If poverty is the measure, or wealth is the measure of generosity, Macedonian would not be able to give. But Paul is writing to Corinth church, taking the example of Macedonian, and say, you see these Macedonians, you know how poor they are. They don't have the wealth that you have. They don't have the luxury that you have. But look at them. They're physically afflicted, literally persecuted. But in their poverty, they are so generous. In their poverty, they are very generous. Paul's reminding the state of the heart of the church in Corinth. And he is telling them why they are lacking in generosity. I have never seen in my life a man get poorer by helping the poor. You hear that? I have never heard a man get poorer by helping the poor. You tell me. You take me. Let me see if there is. I have never known a person get poorer by giving to God. I have never met a person afflicted, disappointed, frustrated, in sorrow, because they have given to the Lord. But I have met many people that have testified to me that they were able to meet their needs because they have given to God. Do not make a mistake here. Do not hear what I don't say today. I am not asking for your money. Let's be clear, okay? Let's be clear from the offset there. I am not asking you to give money to the church. Far from it. What I'm asking is to check the matter of your heart, where your heart is. Because when you give to the poor, it not only benefits the poor, but I tell you, it benefits you. It doesn't benefit God. Do you think God is interested in your money? Far from it. He is not interested in your money. He owns the universe. He owns the 1,000 cattle in the hill. He is not interested in your money, but he is interested in your heart. So generosity comes from the heart that is shaped by God. In fact, you are closest to the heart of God when you give. You know why? Because he gave his only son. He understands the language of giving. If God has one love language, there will be giving. What's your love language? That takes me to the second point. And let me read the scripture here. 2 Corinthians 8:3. For I bear witness that according to their ability. Mark the word ability. Can we say ability? Yes, I have. Thank God you have an ability to muster some strength and say that. Yeah. How about saying ability beyond your ability? Oh, that's much better. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And beyond their ability, they were freely willing. They were freely willing. So, I have two apples here, right? How many of you like apples? Yeah, all right. I like apples too. And my daughter likes too. So one day, it so happened that, I don't know why, we had two apples. And we took it out and put it on our coffee table so we can cut and share among ourselves. But before we cut it, our daughter took both the apple in her hands. And my two sons came and said, "Hey, Sarah, can you share the apple with us?" And she said, "No." Right? "This is my apple." So we said, "Oh, we can share. Let's share. You have two. You don't need two." She said, "No, I need both." You know? I don't know whose daughter is her. You know? I mean, my daughter is not like that. I mean, I don't know. Yes. And so it must be her mom. She's not here. And I will explain that, right? So we kept asking, and she looked at the apple and said, "Come on, share the apple." So what did she do? She took a bite and she gave. And she kept the other one. Have you done that? I have done it. I remember when I was young. Now, it doesn't grieve her to give this apple anymore, right? Because this one is better. See, I told her, she learned it from my wife. And my wife learned from the first grandmother, Eve. Eve took a bite in the garden. She was greedy. She wanted more than what the Lord has given. Then she gave it to her husband. We pass this down to our children. More. Now my son wants an apple here, so. That's not from me, that's from your mom. I would have given a nicer one. By the way, this is not in the paycheck, so somebody has to come up with how to write this thing to me, okay? So we want to take, you see? And even a young one knows to take than to give. It's not natural to us. But Paul witnessed something very different in the church in Macedonia. When he went there, he saw something very different. They were giving according to their ability. Let's stop there for a while. How many of us give according to our ability? Okay? Like when I was growing up, when we go to a restaurant, there's some friends that we know, when it's time to give for the food or restaurant, they will check their pocket and say, "Oh, I forgot my wallet," you know? And we know that they will do that, right? And then even in the church, like we have some people that are very loud and do a lot of work, and then when it comes to money, they're very tight-fisted, right? They don't want... Now, you got to look straight at me. Don't look at anyone. I'm not talking about... Just look straight at me. Keep your head. It's not the one sitting on your side, okay? So are you okay now, right? I was kidding. I make you nervous there. Giving grieves people. And Paul's saying, I want you to give without grieving. I want you to give in your own ability. How many of us give according to our own ability? Don't raise your hand. Just, I'm asking, how many of you are truly giving according to your ability? And as I say, I'm not asking your money. I'm just asking the condition of your heart. Because where your heart is, there your treasure will be. That's what Jesus said, not me. Here, what is more surprising is they were not giving according to their ability. They were giving beyond their ability. That is generosity. They were giving beyond their ability. Very few give according to their ability. Very few give according to their ability. The gifted church was lacking in generosity. And God's reminding us that generosity is giving without grieving. Generosity is not about quantity. It's not about quantity. It's about quality. The quality of how we give. I know of a person in my previous church that gives $5 every month. Every week. But that person is very faithful with that $5. You can count on it that that person will give that $5 every week. That encouraged my heart, looking at the devotion and the commitment that person has to bring the $5, not to the church, but for the ministry of the kingdom of God. It's not about quantity. It's about the quality of your heart. She's never embarrassed to give the $5 every week. There might be some people that give $1,000 every week. But there is no comparison here. We're talking about what we bring to the Lord. Do not look at the quantity, but look at the quality of your heart. Because why? Let me continue here. 2 Corinthians 8:4. Imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of ministering to the saints. Because generosity is giving willingly. Number three, right? Generosity is giving willingly. Generosity is not an act of compulsion, but it's a free choice. Of free choice. See, generosity is not an obligation, but what it is? It's a devotion. Can you say devotion? Yes, it is devotion. So, is giving to God an obligation to you? Begrudgingly giving to God. Apparently, Paul did not want the poor church to give. Macedonian church. He also did not want to press them to give. Because they were poor. He knows that they need it more than him or the other church. What surprised me is how the Macedonian talked to Paul. He said, no, you cannot rob us from participating in this glorious devotion. Our poverty should not limit us to experience this generous heart of God. You can't do that to us. That amazes me. That amazes me. The sincerity of their love. They demanded the right to have a share in the gift of God. They demanded it. The word is urgency. They demanded that they should have the right to share in the gift of God. Poverty should not limit anyone to share in the gift of God. God has given the gift freely to the rich, to the poor, to the weak, and to the strong. And they should have the right, man, woman, boys and girls, everybody has equal right and share to the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what they're demanding. It's not about giving. It's not about money. Poverty does not exclude us from the riches of God. And Macedonians are the example of that. That today, nearly 2,000 years later, we're talking about this poor church, the early church. shining light in our heart of who they truly are. The sincerity of our love is manifested in our action. Your treasure reveals your heart, my friends. As I remind you again, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where is your heart this morning? Where is your heart this morning? Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Or are you seeking first all these things? That brings me to the last point. And I want our heart to be ready for the table as I come to this last point. The table of the Lord. What greater example of generosity? Second Corinthians 8:5, and not only as we have hope, they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. They first gave what? Themselves to the Lord. And they gave to Paul. That is giving beyond their ability. They could have just given themselves to the Lord and not to Paul and to the other church. They could have said, we have given ourselves to God. We're not going to give to the church in Jerusalem, because the offering would be taken to Jerusalem. Generosity is excelling in giving. It's honoring God first and sharing with others. God loves generosity. There are two widows that inspires me in the Bible. One of the widow is the widow in Zarephath, the widow that fed Elijah when he was fleeing from Jezebel. In 1 Kings chapter 17, the widow was out there collecting some sticks, because the oil and the flour that she has at home was going to be the last meal. They're going to have that meal and going to die. That was it, because there was famine in the land. And Eliza came and said, can you make me a meal? And she said, I just have this one last meal for me and my son. But I think you're a man of God. I'll give it to you. How many of you give the last meal of your child to somebody? I would fight with all my life to make my sons and daughter keep alive. I can tell you, I'm not like that widow. How many of you would do that? That you would give your food, your house, your clothes for the sake of others, for your own, instead of your only child? It's generosity beyond her ability. Beyond her ability. This widow from Zarephath, it's honoring God by sharing it to Elijah. Because she said, I think you're a man of God, I'll share it to you. And the widow in New Testament, Jesus was at the treasury temple, sitting there, disciples were there. A lot of people came and gave money. There were rich people that gave a lot of money. But then one widow came with two mites. And when she came, I don't even think the disciples noticed. They must be noticing the rich man who came with the wealth and said, oh, wow. Give him the front row. But Jesus noticed the widow, and he immediately called the disciples, come. And he said, she gave more than the rich, because he gave out of her, out of his abundance. She gave out of her poverty. Thank you. Those two widows, for me, is an example of generosity. And Jesus recognized that. The thing is, because the widow honored God, what happened? The flour and the oil did not run out. Not just for her, but for her entire family, including the relatives. It's an amazing thing. Let me come back to say that when you give to God, it is not to God's benefit. It is to your benefit. Do you know that giving to God is to your benefit? You can test me on this. You can test the word on this. I'm stand by this truth, that if you give to God out of your poverty, you will never get poorer. The word of God says in Proverbs, he who gives to the poor lends to God. I would lend to God any day. I would lend to the Lord any day. Because the word says he will reward you back. He is a sure investment, my friends. There is no surer investment and safety net than giving to God. You try it and come back and say, if my God is false, I'll stop preaching about him. But didn't we do it? Oh, I'm struggling this week, so I'll use it on myself. I'm struggling this week, so I'll use it on myself. It increases. It's the other way. It's the other way. When we struggle, let's run to God. When we struggle, run to the Lord and see how he changes our circumstances. Because generosity is not based on our circumstance. It is a matter of heart. It's a matter of heart. And God sees what is in the inside. And if we obey him and trust him fully to take care of our food, clothes, and shelter, just imagine what he would do for you. Test him. Test the God that you worship. You test him. If you don't believe the word of God, you test him. How your life will change. By obeying him and delighting his heart. I'm telling you, if you delight in the Lord, he will fulfill the desires of your heart. Do not give money to receive money back. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying tell the Lord your God where your heart is. Let him know you love him. You love him. Let him know you love him through your action. Generosity is close related to giving. Because money can be our God. Money can be our God. So either we worship the Almighty God or the Almighty Dollar. So why I am talking about generosity is because we want to experience the generosity of God. And it starts by trusting and giving ourselves to him. And see the next, what will happen. We now ask the worship team to come. And let's bow our head and pray. I'm going to ask the ushers, those who are going to help, to come forward. Now, as we bow our head in prayer, I want you to check where your heart is. Does Jesus, your Lord and Savior, have total devotion from you? That you are 100% sold out to the Lord Jesus Christ? And today we want to make the invitation. After the communion, after the singing, you can come to the well. The well is on the far right corner. You can see the palm leaves there. We pray for anything there. That's a place of no guilt, no shame, no prejudice. Just come as you are. But this morning, I want to make an invitation to you that as the table of the Lord is open, that I pray that your heart is open to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you come here this morning struggling, and your heart is hurting, your heart is confused, and you don't know where your heart belongs, and you say, I'm coming back home today. I'm going to connect my heart with the Lord Jesus Christ. and let him rule and be the center of my heart. If there are some people like that, as we bow our heads and pray, you can just raise your hand where you are so we know that we can pray for you. Yes. It's just for you, between you and God. The table is open for everyone. Everyone who follows the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can come forward and receive the bread and the blood. Thank you, Lord, for listening to the prayer of their heart as they bow their head. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can those who are serving please come? On the night that our Lord Jesus was going to be betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, and said, "This is my body. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. Broken for you." You take this and you remember the death of our Lord Jesus. You remember that you carry the body of our Lord Jesus Christ in you. Today, you remember that. I'm going to ask Jim to pray for the body.
Dear Lord, you went through an awful experience, which we have a chance to walk through and remember several weeks now. And you did it for us. You didn't necessarily want to do it. Your Father wanted you to, and you did it for us. And let us remember with gratefulness, you saved us. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And on the night that he was going to be betrayed, he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood. This is a new covenant that I'm going to make with you. When you do this, you remember my death as often as you can." Santa Clara First Baptist Church, you do not only carry the body of Christ with you, but you carry the resurrection power, the life of Jesus Christ with you wherever you go. It's because of this. Because of this power, the power in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we are reminded that what powerful people we are here on earth. We now ask Karen to pray for the blood of Jesus.
Dearly Father, thank you so very much for sending your Son to the cross, and that his blood is a remembrance of us, that what you did for us and your love for us. And I just pray this in your Son, Jesus' name.